hearers to understand the sign of their times, about how many of God's people, Israel, had failed to see the Messiah come, and now there was going to be trouble ahead. I think I've missed out on some of the thingies. Can we skip? And the next one. And the next one. And I think we're about there. I think. So yes, God does want us to be wise and use our gifts that we've been given. And yes, Jesus did come as Messiah to find out who within his people had used the blessings he had showered upon them. And yes, we can still say that through God, through Jesus, God will sift and weigh everything that faithful followers of Jesus do in life. And so this final parable, the one about the sheep and the goats that we read earlier, has a whole way of layers around it. As we unwrap these layers, we can start to understand that Jesus is the ruler of the world, as Jill reminded us earlier too, that Jesus is the ruler of the world. And we get to view how this rule will be exercised through justice. And yes, it is about dividing up, but not now about the wise and the foolish, or about God and Israel, or about the Jews and the Gentiles. It's not, according to Tom Wright, even about sheep and goats. Yes, it may at one level be seen to be about the last judgment. But let's see what we often miss about this part parable. I think we might go on to the next one. Not yet. One back. Everything hinges on not whether you're a sheep or a goat, but on which those who are judged have treated the least of these, my brothers and sisters. Let me say that again. Everything hinges not on whether you're a sheep or a goat, but on which those who are judged have treated the least of these, my brothers and sisters. Who are the brothers and sisters who are being judged? Tom Wright says this isn't about the sheep and the goats. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus defines his brothers and sisters as those who do the will of my Father and those who are here and obey it. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50. And he goes on to say, the likely meaning of the scene, this part parable, is that those who have not followed Jesus the Messiah will be judged in terms of how they have treated the people whom Jesus counts as family. And that's quite a different way of looking at things. So having talked about a long chunk of Jesus' teaching, in context, seems to denounce how Israel, the people of God, the religious rulers, and those who have missed the coming of Jesus have behaved. We now have what Tom Wright calls one regular Jewish way of talking about God's judgment of the world. Jesus judges the world on how it treats his new Israel, the wider people of God, the least of his brothers and sisters, those who see people who are hungry and give them something to drink, those who are thirsty, give them something to drink, those who are hungry, give them something to eat, a stranger and invite them in, naked and get clothed, ill and those who look after them, in prison and visited. God's eternal hospitality depends partly on God. Our duty, part of which is being ready and being faithful and being watchful, is to perform hospitable acts to anyone and everyone. And that includes those we don't see eye to eye with, perhaps even theologically, to those we see as beneath ourselves, to those who we see as strangers or foreigners, to those who have more or less than we do, to those with whom we have nothing in common, to those who are naked and in prison and thirsty and hungry, because they might just be Jesus or one of his brothers or sisters. And so as a community church, don't we or can't we serve our community in its widest sense by offering hospitality, loving the stranger? For that is, as Neil said to us last week, is philoxenia, loving the stranger. That's what it's all about. Sharing a safe place, somewhere to come if you're lonely or outcast. Wouldn't it be fabulous if our lives and our church building could offer the eternal hospitality now? Because when we pray, and as we did pray earlier, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's exactly what God invites us to do. Bring what is in the domain of God here, right now. What's in the heavens here, right now. To end, I'd like to say that having been here for nearly 2 years, hard to believe, people have begun asking me, well, what is my vision for the church here? It is as it's always been. It is as what it's been said in the Bible, to care for the widows and the orphan, to look out for the rejected and the afflicted, to stand up for all those who are oppressed. Specific to my personal calling, there's an element of rebuilding broken walls, restoring streets with dwellings, and in the Message version of Isaiah 58, to make the community livable again. All of this is about building a positive community life, spiritual and physical, emotional and vocational. Jesus might call it life in all its fullness, or shalom, full wholeness in all its different ways. Our vision at Main Street has always been, I believe, to welcome, to see who God puts in our way, and to love them anyway. It's that hard, and it's that easy. It's doing what Main Street has always done, and we continue to do that every day. You'll know that before I came here, I was a school chaplain, and the first known chaplain was a chap called St. Martin of Tours. Well, I guess he was Martin of Tours before he became a saint. A Roman soldier and a Christian. The story goes out that one freezing cold day, a beggar asks him for money. Martin had none, but seeing the man blue with cold, ripped his soldier's cloak in two and gave half to the beggar. That night, Martin had a dream. He saw Jesus in the courts of heaven wearing half a cloak. He heard an angel ask, "Master, why are you wearing that battered old cloak? Who gave it to you?" And Jesus replied, "My servant Martin gave it to me." And so in the context of eternal hospitality, our responsibility to offer eternal hospitality isn't totally dependent on God in the future. It depends on what we do now.
Thank you, Paul. Let's just have a moment or two of quiet as we think about the many things that Paul has brought to us there before we sing our final hymn together.